Telling you what, I'm full of joy today. Man, I don't care if you are, I am. I survived the birthday party. Tell you what, it was awesome. It was fantastic. Thank you to everybody that made it happen. I'm gonna have another birthday in a few months. We're gonna do that again. That was fun. We had a good time. A few years back, we went on vacation and we went with another family, and there was two cars. And we played this game, Did You Know? It became a game. We were on this long trip, and next thing you know, we're each sending back texts back and forth. Did you know? And we'd come up with some weird random fact that we found out off the internet. And we'd just send it back and forth. And when we get out of the car, we'd peek over the car at another person. Did you know? And it just became this big old thing. And so I was trying to remember some of those things that happened, and here's some of the things that I remembered and found that were even a little bit different. Did you know that the Supreme Court has its own private basketball court? And they even have a nickname, the highest court in the land. It's a true story. I saw it on the internet. It must be true. There was a football fan that dedicated his obituary to insulting the Cleveland Browns football team. He asked for six of the Browns to be his pallbearers so that they could let him down one last time. That might be the Dallas Cowboys. You never know. Yeah. Anybody ever heard of Barry Manilow? Yeah. I'm still too young. No, I'm kidding. I know him. Apparently, he wrote this song called I Wrote the Songs. He didn't write that one. That's kind of funny. There's a town in Norway called Hell. That's the name of the town. And every winter, it freezes over. If you kids don't understand, ask your parents. They'll let you know. German chocolate cake was invented in Texas. Yeah. Oh, by Myrtle A. Strike. Tell you what, she can make it. Believe me, it's good. There's a guy named Wally Amos who discovered and signed Simon and Garfunkel. He was also known as a talent rep for Diana Ross, Sam Cooke, and Marvin Gaye. But he was most famously known as Famous Amos, his cookies. Can you believe that? That's crazy. And then lemons float, but limes sink. I know. I can see you at home. You're going to try it. You're going to try it, and you're definitely going to try this next one. Grapes light on fire in the microwave. I can't wait to try that one. It is going to be amazing. I know y'all are going to be like, you know what I learned at church? Grapes, they get on fire. We have some young gentlemen in here. Bob Moat. There's one. Lonnie Reed. You may not know this, but they were alive when the Dead Sea was only sick. Well, no, I'm kidding. You're going to read in the paper about them beating me up in the parking lot. But I love those guys. They know I love them. They know I love them. And then I don't know if you know this one, but Christians are supposed to be joyful. I know. It's one of those crazy facts that you kind of look up, and it's just there's certain people that walk into the room and suck the life right out of it. You know, you're probably thinking of one right now. Yep, you got it? It's crazy how that can happen. I mean, everything can be going great, and that one person walks in, and you're just like, oh, no. I mean, I never feel that way about people, but you might. Some people might even do that in church. But I had one person tell me, I'm usually pretty happy. I have seasons, I have times that I'm not. But one person came up to me one time and said, why are you always so happy? You make me sick. Now, I knew this person. But that's what they said to me. And I said, because it irritates you. And now I'm going to be more happy and more happy and more happy. But then I ask him the question, why are you never happy? You claim Jesus as Lord of your life. And it's not, like I said, it's not like when we go through different times of trials and times that are just difficult in our lives. There's a time to mourn. There's a time to grieve. But at some point, we've got to move on and get to the joy. We should be the most joyous people on earth. We should be. We should just be having joy come out of us all the time, even in the difficult times. Did you know that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy? I think sometimes we forget. It's probably the best fruit. I think Justin should come up with a cup of joy at fuel. I'll take a cup of joy. I know people think that a cup of coffee might be a cup of joy. For me, it just gets me going. That's the first one. I'm like, oh, okay. You can talk to me now. We're getting somewhere. But Justin needs to come up with one called the cup of joy. Man, I bet you everybody, and you imagine if people just drink and all of a sudden, woohoo, cup of joy. Now, there's some people that put stuff in their coffee that gives them a little joy and gets them a little kick going, but that's okay. But Galatians 5:22 says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'm not so good at a lot of the other ones. But joy, it might be a gift that God gave me. I'm just joyful a lot. But you know what I think it comes from? I just get to spend time with God. I spend time with Him. When it's easy, I spend time with Him. When it's hard, I spend time with Him. And even in the middle of the most difficult times, sometimes all of a sudden, here comes joy. It's inexplainable. It's almost like it's supernatural, which it is. It is supernatural, this joy that comes from knowing Christ. I have some people that tell me, well, I've just been going through a lot. It's been a rough time. I was like, I got a verse for you, and you're not going to like it. James 1:2-4. It's one of the worst passages in the Bible. It says, consider it pure joy, my friends, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. I'd say consider it pure joy. And then the King James Version, my newest King James, says, I'd rather not. Consider it pure joy when your transmission goes out in your truck. That happened to me this week. Truck didn't sound very good. Took it to the transmission guy. And I don't know what happened, but he was telling me his whole life story. And he said, well, I got bad news for you. It's going to cost between $2,000 and $4,000, but at least I can't look at it till next week. I was like, you know what? I don't even care. I said, you know what, sir? Merry Christmas. I'm going to be giving you a lot of money. I said, but you know what's great is that I have it. Now, normal James will be like, I have it, but you know what? I didn't want to spend it on that. I wanted to spend it on something more fun. But this time, I just had this joy about me. And he was looking at me like, are you crazy? I was like, I am. I am crazy. I said, God will do something amazing out of this for me. It's okay. And then I get home and I'm like, I need to go somewhere. I don't have a car. I was like, Lord, where's the joy? Where's the joy? Help. Somebody give me a ride. But I've had many people come to the table and just say, if you need a vehicle? Okay, thank you, Lord. It's going to be taken care of, and I'm going to find joy out of it because it's not about my circumstances, but it's because what the circumstances will produce. Did you hear what he said in this? When you face trials of many kinds, you can have pure joy because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And when perseverance has finished its work, you'll be mature and complete, lacking nothing. But you notice that it doesn't come without the trials. I mean, the trials can beat us down to nothing, or they can turn it into something like perseverance. And then out of that, I finally get some maturity in my life when I do these things. And it's something that produces pure joy. It's amazing when we take God at His word and do what He asks us to do. It's not for His benefit, it's for ours. And I can't explain. I'm the biggest wine bag in the world. I have a degree in it. I mean, I can wine with the best of them. Ask my wife. I mean, I'm good at it. I really actually enjoy it. It's fun. But at the same time, not when it gets me down to the point where I can't have joy. There's a book in the Old Testament called Nehemiah. I don't know if you ever heard of it. But it's in there, trust me. It's in there, and the Jews found themselves exiled, and their town of Jerusalem had its walls broken down and their gates burnt to the ground. Now, I don't know about some of you in here, but that AC probably works. If you want to switch it, we can. Whew, got hot up here. Thank you, John. Appreciate that. Isn't that something? Starts out 26 degrees. We turn on the heat, freezing. No, I need some. Are y'all hot over there? You okay? All right, turn that vent on me then. It'll be okay. Thank you. So Nehemiah, he finds himself in Jerusalem. He was a cupbearer to the king of another country. He was a cupbearer. And all of a sudden, God starts putting something on his heart. He says, I want you to go and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem and fix its gates. And he goes, I don't even live there. I don't even live there. Certainly not. I can't go and ask a king that is a different country to go rebuild Jerusalem. Now, if he goes to the king and says, King, I want to rebuild Jerusalem. And the king goes, what are you thinking? All of a sudden, you're just a cupbearer. And you know what a cupbearer did? He tasted the wines and the drinks the king would have before the king did to make sure it wasn't poisoned. How'd you like that job? Man, that's a rough job. And so he goes before the king, and the king goes, why are you, all of a sudden you're sad. I've never seen you sad. And he goes, Jerusalem. The walls are busted down, and God's been putting it on my heart to go fix them. And at that point, it's just like quiet, I imagine. And you know what the king does? He goes, go do it. I want you to go, and I want you to fix the gates of Jerusalem. I want you to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Can I tell you something? It was not easy. When you read that book of the Bible, it was not easy for them. They faced all kinds of persecution. They faced all kinds of ridicule. They faced all kinds of threats. And they were totally exhausted. They had to work at night so that they could, and have armed guards around them so that they could work on this wall because God put it in their heart to do this. But they never stopped no matter what obstacle they took and they found themselves in. They never stopped. They kept going and they kept going and they kept going. And even inside their own camp, they had fighting and bitterness because it was so hard. And they said they had people coming up pretending to be prophets in their own camp. And saying, you need to go over here and do this. And God said, no, you don't listen to them. You listen to me. And they went forward and they did it and they kept going and they kept going. They finally got to that point where they completed their work. And you know what happened when they completed their work? All of their enemies in the surrounding countries ended up with the fear of God inside their lives and wouldn't go around them and wouldn't go around Jerusalem at all. And God brings all the people who were exiled back into Jerusalem. And they're getting ready to have a party and they're getting ready to celebrate God because of what he did and bringing them all back to Jerusalem. And so as they're doing that, they realize that God's helped them and they realize, you know, we're in this problem for a reason. There's a reason we're here because we did not obey and our ancestors did not obey the law, the book of the law of Moses. And so that we need to get this right. We need to make sure that we're doing this right. And so Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1 says, when the seventh month came and the Israelites had settled in their towns, all the people came together as one in the square before the water gate. They told Ezra, the teachers of the law, to bring out the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded for Israel. Now, all the people came together as one. For what reason? To hear the book of the law being read. Boring. That's starting from Genesis and going through the first five books of the Bible. But remember, they had different circumstances. They had been in exile. And they're all brought back together. And they're going, we need to know what the Word of God says so that we can obey it and be blessed. So they come back and they're looking at all that. Verse 2 to 3 says this. So on the first day of the seventh month, Ezra the priest brought the law before the assembly, which was made up of men and women and all who were able to understand. He read it aloud from daybreak until noon. That's a long time. As he faced the square before the water gate in the presence of the men, women, and others who could understand. And all the people listened attentively to the book of the law. You know why they listened attentively? Because they didn't have one in their homes. It was finally found. And they said, in order for us to be blessed, we've got to hear the word of God. You know the advantage we have today? Jesus. We all get to have the word of God. Many of us have many of these Bibles in our homes. And so that's just something that they didn't experience. They didn't know anything about this. And so they're coming and they're listening attentively. I mean, this is kind of crazy. In the verse 5-6, look at their reaction here. Ezra opened the book and all the people could see him because he was standing above them. And as he opened it, all the people stood up. Ezra praised the Lord, the great God, and all the people lifted their hands and responded, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. What a reaction. And what a reaction. They're hearing this and they all stood up and the reading's happening of the word of God. And what do? They all bowed. That would be so weird for us today, wouldn't it? Can you imagine being a visitor going into a church and I'm reading the book of the Bible and everybody stands up and then all of a sudden they get on their knees and they bow down to the Lord. Everybody like, oh my gosh, I'm never coming back to this church. That's kind of weird. But that's what their custom was. I'm telling you, there's really nothing wrong with bowing down before God in worship. That's not a bad thing to do. And so here they are, they're bowing down. And in verse 8-9, it says that they read from the book of the law of God, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read. Then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and teacher of the law, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them all, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of God. They were weeping because it cut them to their heart. They realized that they had not been keeping the words of God and their ancestors had not been keeping the words of God. And they're weeping in repentance because of what had happened and what has been going on in their lives. And all of a sudden it's coming to life to them because it's being explained to them what was happened, what has happened here. And what do they tell them to do? Don't weep. Don't weep. That time is over. God has seen your heart. And in verse 10, Nehemiah says, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. This is the day holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. And notice whose joy it is. It's not ours. That's our strength. It's the joy of the Lord. Do we ever see the Lord like that? The Lord in his joy? Every time you kind of think about the Lord, you think he's kind of looking down, just waiting for you to screw up. We got this picture of God who's this angry God, and you're not sure what's going to happen next with him. And he goes, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." Do you think the joy of the Lord could be our strength? I think it could be. Remember, it's not my joy, it's his joy. And I'm going, "Lord, I'm going to rely on your joy to be my strength." And he goes, "You know what? I got a bunch to give out. I got a bunch to give out." And so if you're struggling and you're a Christian and you're always whining and you're always sad and you're always something's wrong with you and you're sad and just mean and all this stuff, get a grip. I'm serious. This is getting old. Nobody wants to be around you. You don't know Jesus probably. When it keeps going on and on and on, some people told me this past week, "It's okay if you step on our toes." Well, I'm stomping on them. I'm stomping on them because there's so much more that you can experience in the joy of the Lord than you ever know. How can we know a Savior that has come down from heaven the most humble way, being totally dependent on his creation, to show us how much he loves us and then die on a cross so that we can be reconciled to God and go, "I'm a Christian," and whine all, like I said, I'm not talking about all the time. Sometimes we go through hard times when you lose somebody. It's difficult. You don't go to somebody that just lost their spouse and tell them, "Have the joy of the Lord." Because you and everybody else in here needs to beat them down. I mean, that's crazy. That's crazy. But when it's all the time that we're just constantly sad, there's something wrong. There seriously is something wrong. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And that doesn't mean you need to be like me, all the time running around being silly. But there should be this joy inside of your heart that says, I can do anything because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Maybe some people don't get it, but it just made me think of that song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. Some of you remember that song, some of you don't. Do y'all remember that song? Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, don't be happy. Because when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. So don't worry, be happy. I love that song. I mean, there's a guy named Farrell, right? Or Pharrell. I don't know how you name him. Because he says, because I'm happy, clap along. And he's like this rapper. You ever heard some of his other songs? You're like, oh my gosh. I was like, this guy's really good. He's got wholesome music. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. But I'll tell you that song, it makes me happy. And everybody's dancing around. I think maybe everybody should, if you're sad and you're struggling just with being alive, I'm going to sing you that song. And I'll even come over to your house and I'm going to sing it. Now, don't worry. Be happy. I'm telling you what, it's contagious. But so is sucking the life out of people. That's contagious. That's contagious. And so the joy of the Lord is our strength. Hebrews 12:2 says this, let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Who for the joy set before him endured the cross. Tell me there's no strength in that joy. What joy was he talking about? I think he was talking about partially that he gets to go back where he started from, heaven. And he knows that being with God is better than anything else here. Second thing I believe is that you and I were on his mind. The joy set before him, you and I, he endured the cross so that he could be with us forever. That's some strength. That's some serious strength right there. The joy is more powerful than you could ever imagine. It really is, and it's supernatural. It is, because I have seen some people who have gone through way more trials and tribulations than I ever have, and they just are happy. And they have this peace and this joy that passes understanding that I can't understand, really. And it's amazing to me to watch those people still have faith, still move forward one step at a time and reach people that I could never reach because their joy is inescapable. It's powerful to have the joy of the Lord. It was obvious that Jesus had the Holy Spirit. Everything that we talked about, the fruits of the Spirit, Jesus had all of those things. He had that joy. He considered it joy when he faced trials. There's an odd verse in the Bible where it says that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. I'm thinking, what do you mean Jesus learned obedience? He was perfect. He learned obedience through his sufferings. He went through all of these trials so that he could know what it feels like to be like us. The only difference with him is he did it perfectly. He went through everything that we've ever gone through as far as emotional feelings and all those things. He knows how we feel. He can help us get through it. And the joy of the Lord was his strength, strong enough to endure a cross. That's real stuff. I think that, I told my wife the other day, I said, I think we need to learn how to close our ear lids. Ear lids? I mean, we got eyelids and we can shut them when we don't want to see something. I need some ear lids so that when all this negative junk's coming at me from whoever and whatever, Satan will use anybody, that I can just shut my ear lids. So if you're talking to me and all of a sudden I go blank, I'm like, I shut my ear lids. It's probably the only thing people are going to remember about this sermon. James says he's got ear lids. I think we need some ear lids. I think we can have some spiritually. When people are talking all this noise and all this junk, and Satan comes in there and goes, you know what? That person's not really your friend. You know what? Shut your mouth, Satan. This is about something deeper than that. And we're going to work this thing out, and we're going to keep pushing, and we're going to keep pushing. And he's going, no, you don't have the strength. You're right, I don't have the strength, but I know who does. Because he says, when I'm weak, he's strong. And I'm going to keep pushing. That's why I love those five spiritual, whatever they call them, I did in the back. weapons, five spiritual weapons. And it's been neat to see some people say, man, I've been reading that every day. I'll tell you, I still do it every day. I'm putting armor on the armor of God. One person said, you only need to really put it on one time. I'm like, you should wash it. And so these spiritual truths, they're real. They are real. We have to listen to what the Spirit is telling us. And when it's not the Spirit, shut your ear lids. Shut them. He's given that to you for a reason. And you can take that thought captive to the obedience of Christ. It works. It's weird, but it works. Because I'm like, well, I'll just take the thought captive, and it's just, yes. By faith, it happens, and you will find joy. You will find joy. I just had my 50th birthday party. Y'all know that. And Brandy, she wanted it to be so perfect for me. She came home probably a week, 2 weeks in a row, exhausted every day. Every day, and I was just like, Brandy, it's not that big of a deal. It's just not that big a deal. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to keep going because I know what joy it's going to bring. And it kept her going, and it kept her going. And I want to thank everybody that jumped in there. I know she didn't do it alone, but she did it, and she kept going, and she just kept telling me, I can't wait for you to see it. I was like, when is it? It's none of your business. I kept trying to get around, where's it going to be? You know, and so we had some funny things happen in the middle of the whole thing, but it was just absolutely everything that I hoped for and more, and it just brought so much joy. I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how much joy that I had watching everybody get out there and just have some fun. It was just wonderful for me to watch everybody be a part of this thing and just go out there. And I'm going to have another birthday in a few months, and we're going to do it again and have some fun with one another. We're out there dancing with our spouses and having a good time. Some of us, it took a little liquid courage, but we made it. We made it. And, you know, we had a blast. I don't know if you did, but I did. And it was absolutely everything that I hoped for and more. So thank you so much, Brandy. It was wonderful. I know you did a lot of hard work on that. Thank you very much for that. I'm going to bring the wife and the team back up. Some of you were here when I did that, but anyway, I'm going to bring Brandy and the team back up to close this out. But I know that Jesus has inexpressible joy, and I can just hear him saying, I can't wait for you to see it. Do you ever think about God and them being so excited for us? They're excited for us, and they're telling us, keep going, keep pushing, keep going. I've given you everything that you need to make it through this whole thing. And I believe he's up there going, I can't wait for you to see it. He's already done all the work. He's done it all. And so I just keep hoping and hoping that the Christians will become this group of people who you cannot stop their joy no matter what happens. Our world looks like crud right now. And I don't know if you know this, but we are so lucky to live in Llano, Texas. We are so blessed to live here. And it's because of people like you all that are going to keep making it a great place to live. And there will be people trying, and there already are, coming from all over the place wanting to live in Llano, Texas. And we got good people over at the chamber vetting them out. Oh, you're from California, huh? Which way are you leaning there? Do you love Jesus? Oh, no, Austin. You might want to go to Austin. Llano's a terrible place. Oh, you do love Jesus. Well, there's a spot right down the road just came up for sale. I may be lying, I may not be. I don't know. That's what I heard, rumors. This town is a city on a hill. Jesus said that we are the light of the world. Not can be, we are. We are the salt of the earth. Let me tell you something. Salt is not effective unless it's touching the thing that it was meant to be used for. As salt, unless it's touching the meat or whatever to preserve it, unless it's touching, we're not having ice on our roads, but I grew up, they had ice, and they put salt down on the roads. But can you imagine if you went by and the ice is all over the roads and you go, I got salt, and you never used it? I don't understand why the road's still slippery. Because we didn't apply it. Everything we're learning in here, we take it out there and we apply it, and you watch the joy of the Lord be your strength. You watch it. By faith, something's going to happen. And we're going to keep growing together, and we're not going to stop until we're safe in His arms. Let His joy be your strength. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity to be together. I thank you for the joy that comes, no matter the circumstances. And that supernaturally, we can enjoy this life on this earth, no matter what Satan brings at us, no matter what he tells us. So Lord, may we trust in you more than we trust in his voice. And may we operate by faith, because we know without faith, it's impossible to please you. So by faith, we accept you as our Savior. We thank you for your Son, who came into this world so that we could sing things like, joy to the world, the Lord has come. So during this season, we remember you, Jesus, and thank you for making the decision to come down to this earth so that we could truly be free and have this supernatural joy. In Jesus' name, amen.